Hello and welcome to A Rip in the Veil, your safe place to discuss everything that makes you feel unsafe. Here in this podcast, we will discuss the paranormal, true crime, extraterrestrials, and the like. And in this first episode, I wanted to kind of give some background on myself and my personal experiences growing up and what sparked that initial interest of mine. Like most of us, I mean, I think we've all had anyone that's interested in the paranormal like this, I feel like we've all had either a pivotal experience that really made us question things. And maybe it's not the paranormal. Maybe it was an alien experience or a loss of time or some unknown, unexplained instance in your life that has sparked that interest. Or sometimes it's kind of built up over time like it did for me, where things just kept happening and you have no explanation for them. And especially when you're little, I feel like it's easier to write it off because there's a lot that you don't know and understand. So it almost kind of just blends in with everything else. But the older you get and the more you realize things aren't so normal, I feel like that's when I really started digging. So before we get into all of that, I did want to give a couple quick shout outs to my inspirations for starting this podcast. The first one being a paranormal and true crime podcast called And That's Why We Drink. It's hosted by Em and Christine. They do a great job of giving personality to the podcast. They're very entertaining, and they do a really great job with the stories that they share. Otherwise, there's Bailey Sarian on YouTube. Her last name is spelled S-A-R-I-A-N. And she does murder, mystery, and makeup on Mondays, where she discusses a true crime story. She's also a makeup artist, so she does her makeup while she does that. So something I really appreciate about both And That's Why We Drink and Bailey Sarian's channel is that they give, they just really give the history of the story and the people and the places. They just do a really good job with sharing the history and really keeping the stories alive. All right. So let's get into my personal experiences. So the first story I have to share with you, the earliest one that I can remember, actually comes from my dad, and my sister and I were kind of just a part of it. So at this time, I mean, we were fairly young, older than toddler age, but I'd say maybe like 5 and 7. And my mom had run out to the store. My dad was upstairs napping. We were glued in front of the television downstairs. So he wakes up from his nap. He comes down and looks very confused. And he asked if any of us had been upstairs. And we had said no. I mean, it was pretty obvious that we hadn't moved out from in front of the television. And then he asked if my mom had been home. And the answer was no. No one had moved since he went upstairs to nap. So later, when we got a little older, he told us that he had heard a door shut, footsteps upstairs, and then footsteps back downstairs. Like someone had come home, run upstairs, and then left again. And again, like I said, my mom hadn't come home. We hadn't seen anything, heard anything ourselves. So that was one of the first instances that I remember hearing about. Now, my mom was definitely the most skeptical out of all of us, but she even said she had an experience. This was before we had any pets. We didn't have any cats or anything in the house like my dad does now. And she remembers feeling pressure on the bed, like beside her or at the foot of the bed or something, like something small, like maybe like an animal was walking on it. But it definitely felt like something was in bed with her. And my dad wasn't home and we were in bed and there was no reason, you know, there was no logical explanation for that one. So other than that, growing up, just kind of random things would happen. We would get a lot of footsteps and just kind of some random playful things with musical instruments as well. My sister had a set of bongos that would play in the middle of the night with obviously no human playing them. Also, I do have a guitar that my pop-pop gave me, and every once in a while, I will hear the faintest string pluck. Now, this isn't a case. It's not like anyone could brush by it. And when that happens, it's actually fairly comforting. I mean, I acknowledge him, and I say hello, and I greet him. because that's actually, you know, it's a comforting experience. The bongos, not so much. I can't say that those were like came from anybody in the family or anything. That's just something that would happen. As far as the footsteps go, that's something that continued throughout my childhood. I can't tell you how many times there were creaks in the floor and no one was there, and it's not, you know, like a super drafty house or anything. You'd hear footsteps up and down the wooden stairs, very distinct sound. But the one that really sticks out to me is I was in middle school sometime, and it was maybe 9 or 10 a.m., and I had stayed home from school because I wasn't feeling well. And at that time, everybody should have been out of the house. So I'm laying in bed again, it's 9 or 10 a.m., and I hear a door shut in the basement, which is where my mom was staying at the time. A door shut in the basement, footsteps up the couple flights of stairs up to the kitchen. The refrigerator door open, shut, and then footsteps back down, and then the door shut again. And again, that's where my mom was staying, so I figured she had maybe just stayed home or was running late. I look outside, and there were no cars in the driveway. So I was definitely home alone when that happened. And things like that would continue. Like, I mean, I was home alone after school a lot, and I would hear tons of footsteps. And just kind of noises I couldn't explain while I was alone. Now, it got to a point that honestly, I just started talking to it and acknowledging it. And I'm not saying that this is always the best thing to do. You shouldn't always, you know, make eye contact with eye contact. You shouldn't always try to make contact with spirits and energies because you don't know if they're good or not. At this point, I had obviously grown up with this energy or the spirit, so I felt pretty comfortable talking to it. It had never done anything malicious. Everything was benign. And if anything, just a little eerie. But anyone that grew up in a haunted house, I mean, or it lives in one now, little things like that. I mean, I think most of us can agree that you kind of do get used to it. So I would end up talking to it. And so, you know, after that, the activity really actually seemed to die down a little bit. I just would acknowledge it and say that there, you know, I respected it. I knew, you know, I wanted to coexist. I knew that the house must have meant something to them because they obviously stuck around. And also I would sing just around the house, and occasionally I'd get crazy, like a crazy onset of goosebumps while I was singing, and like a cold chill, and I never knew if that was a good thing or a bad thing, if that was like, you know, a compliment, or if that was like they were trying to get me to shut the F up, so who knows. But like I said, that kind of lessened the activity around the house. Maybe it just wanted to be acknowledged, it wanted to be seen, well, not seen, but, you know, acknowledged and respected. But you know, like, it didn't completely stop the activity, but that the constant footsteps kind of died out a little bit. Now, the other activity, before I get into the other activity in the house, that was more on the poltergeist end, I kind of just want to touch on a couple things that happened in the house that were not necessarily, they weren't like super common occurrences. So one of them being, I just want to give this disclaimer that I did have a negative Ouija board experience in that house. I don't think it necessarily changed a whole lot because there wasn't like a heavy negative presence afterwards. But that story's for another time. So just a disclaimer, and going off of what I said earlier, you definitely don't want to just reach out to any and all energies out there, especially if you're not familiar with them, because they really could be, you know, they really might not be good energies. So there's that. My sister and I have both experienced quite a bit of sleep paralysis. My sister is a very lucid dreamer, and we've both had crazy dreams, but she's a very lucid dreamer, and she's had a lot of weird dream experiences, and I'll have her on at some point and she can share those with you guys. But something that's happened to both of us that we cannot explain are gaps in time. So I believe for her this happened a couple times. For me, this was once where we were both in the kitchen. We were both in the kitchen, not at the same time, but both of our experiences all happened in the kitchen. But we were alone when they happened. So both scenarios, fairly similar. You go down in the middle of the night to get water or something, whatever, and you think that you're there for maybe like 10 or 15 minutes, and it turns out to be over an hour, if not more. So for me, I remember mine was maybe over an hour and hers was a couple hours. Like she went down like around like 2 or 3 and she like realized what time it was about like 5. You know, and this is before, like, if I remember correctly, is this before phones and stuff? Maybe. I don't know, but whatever. But so our oven had a digital clock on it as well as the microwave. So, you know, you would glance at the clock, it's like 3 o'clock. And then by the time you kind of come to, it's been hours, you know, and you glance at the clock again and you realize you've lost that time. And I know I said that, you know, nothing malicious has ever happened in that house other than the Ouija board experience. I can't say for sure that, you know, nothing malicious happened during those gaps in time, but nothing that we know of, but we can't remember anything. So I will say that is the most unexplained just because we just have no idea what happened. All right, so moving on to the poltergeist activity, which is definitely what I would say is the most common nowadays, the most common type of activity that we get. And I say that now because this has kind of followed us into the house we are in now. So the house I was talking about prior, all the activity that happened in prior to this was in the house that my dad still lives in. Since my sister and I have both moved out, but while we still lived there, my boyfriend, who is now my fiance, stayed with us for a period of time, and my sister still lived there. And something about the three of us all together just like either attracted or kind of amplified whatever was going on. So whenever we were all together, things tended to happen more often. So this is where the poltergeist activity started to pick up. Now, I feel like poltergeist has a negative connotation to it, but this was honestly sometimes annoying, but fairly playful, benign thing. So this is not, no one got hurt, okay? It's not like, I don't know, what's that famous one? It's not like it's not like The Conjuring. It's not like a medieval horror or anything like that. So, like I said, it was pretty playful. Things would just go missing most of the time is what would happen. We would get, like say you would set something down and then you run around the house looking for it. You'd set something down, turn around, and it's not there. You go around the house looking for it, nowhere to be found, and you come back and it's right where you originally put it, and you know it wasn't there when you had turned around and it originally went missing, right? So things like that would happen quite often with various objects, some of them that were way too heavy to just like, I mean, they would happen with like full glasses of water and stuff like that. So it's like someone would have definitely had to pick it up and move it. It's not like it got knocked over and we found it underneath something, you know. So very intentional, I should say. Now, as time went on, it did definitely, it's like things would get thrown, but not like in a way that would ever hurt us. So this time I was by myself, but I was in my sister's room. Now, something that's important to note, my sister did eventually move into the room that my mom used to stay in, that was in the basement. And like I said, when I had heard footsteps up to the kitchen and a door slam, that's the same room I'm talking about. And it'll come up actually again later. So a lot of activity happened in that room. At this time, I was alone, and I was sitting on the edge of my sister's bed. And, I mean, we already know this is not going to be a kid-friendly podcast, so let's just be real here. I had a lighter sitting next to me on the bed, like, sitting next to my thigh, and I was about to smoke some of the devil's lettuce, like kids do. And all of a sudden, this lighter that was sitting on the bed, and there's no way, like, I would have had to, like, there's no way I could have done it myself. This lighter shot out from beside me. Like, just straight out onto the floor. Like, if I would have nudged it off, it would have fallen off and, like, kind of landed right underneath the edge of the bed. But no, this, like, flew out straight, like, a couple feet away from the edge of the bed is where it landed. I mean, honestly, I kind of just took that as a, you know, maybe this spirit's kind of old school and they don't really like, you know, what I'm doing. So I think I apologized to it. Because it was almost like it was disappointed in me. I don't know. But also in that room, there was a bookshelf by the bed. And this happened twice in the same night. I think it was the same night. But I know it happened twice. Two different items. They were very lightweight, like little pieces of plastic or something. Very lightweight items that So they were little plastic baggies that had no weight to them. So, you know, like if you drop something that has weight, that doesn't have any weight to it, like a plastic bag, a piece of paper or whatever, it doesn't fall straight down. It kind of floats almost. And, you know, I'm not saying that it couldn't have been knocked off on its own. It's the way that it fell that makes it abnormal. So if someone were to walk by and like say like a gust of wind knocked it off, it would have kind of floated down and would have most likely landed close to the bookshelf. Well, twice these plastic bags flew out the same way the lighter did, at an angle, in a line, and landed feet away from the bookshelf in a way that could only be replicated by someone throwing it. But again, these were really light objects. I mean, empty plastic bags, I mean, there's like no weight to those. Like, I don't even know if they were the type, I don't even think they were the type with, like, the little, like, zipper closure that, and that would be the only weight that it had, really. Like, these, like, flew out. So it's, like, either they had to be thrown or, like, forcibly carried. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. But there is no way that they naturally landed there on their own. There's no way. So things like that would happen, but the most notable one, just to recap, with the lighter, I was by myself. When the plastic bag thing happened, my sister, my fiance, and I were all together, so worth noting. Now, remember I said that the room would come up again? So above that bedroom, the one where the lighter thing happened, the plastic bag thing happened, the same door I heard shut, and footsteps upstairs to the kitchen. So the way the house is set up, that room is directly below our dining room, okay? So fast forward in the next year or two, we are all sitting at the dining room table. We had stayed up late drinking and playing cards. I promise the alcohol has nothing to do with the validity of this story because there were several witnesses. Obviously, we didn't catch it on camera or anything, but there are several witnesses that saw this one. So we had finished up playing cards or whatever. There's an empty card box on the table. My fiance's sitting at the table and all the cards are out of the box. So the rest of us were kind of, we were up standing and talking, but like I said, my fiance is sitting at the table and the card box is in front of him. He's not touching it or anything. It's just sitting there. And I shit you not, this card box stands up on one of its corners, like on a diagonal, like it's not even, there's no way you can even balance it like that if you wanted to. And this box waltzes across the table for like 2 or 3 feet and then just falls. Like there's no fucking way. like, we all just stared at each other. It was me, my sister, my fiance, and her boyfriend at the time, who she's still really good friends with, and they've discussed this exact thing and verified it with each other. I mean, we just all stared at each other because that was the one that, like, you really, there's no explanation for it. Like, for someone to try to pull off a hoax like that, I mean, one, no one would have done that. I mean, and two, it would have had to be so elaborate to make it look that real. I mean, we're talking, like, elaborate pulley systems and, like, I don't know, like, a magnet or something under the table. Like, there's really, I've thought about, like, a way you could try to debunk that, and there's really, really, like, no explanation for it. So that, I would say, was, like, the craziest one, because, one, we had, it was the most people, it was, the most witnesses, you could say, and then also, I mean, it was just, there's no fucking way to explain that. There's really not. Like, and I'm sure people that haven't experienced and seen paranormal things like that, to them, it's like, oh, yeah, there's always a logical explanation. I used to be that person, too. Trust me. I have a medical background. I am very much, like, a science person. And that's actually the part that interests me the most, is that it's the fact, what, like, the connection between, you know, the unknown and the paranormal and, you know, all of it, you know, the connection between that and, you know, what we can use, you know, how we can scientifically explain these things. And that's where we fall short, is people don't believe in it. So I feel like there's just not a whole lot of, you know, people do paranormal investigating, but I mean, people laugh at those shows. You know what I mean? Like, they just, and that's actually, it took me a lot, you know, the paranormal isn't something I really discuss with most people, because I think we've all of us that have brought it up with non-believers, I think we've all gotten shot that look. You know the look I'm talking about, where it's almost like they're humoring you. You know, maybe they're just, maybe they're not outright telling you that they don't believe you, but they're, you know, they're humoring you. And it's almost like more insulting than them just being like, okay, I don't believe you. You know what I mean? It's almost like a pity thing, like there's something wrong with you. I don't know. Maybe it's just the people that I've come in contact with that are like that. But it's really like, if you have not experienced it, I understand why it's hard to believe, you know? Sorry for the noise on the mic. I actually just got a cold breeze out of nowhere. So anyway. I actually had an experience in the chair I'm sitting in, but that's for another day. Like I said, I do believe that playful kind of poltergeist has followed us into this house that my fiance and I now live in. And I have multiple stories, in regards to that. So if that's something you guys would be interested in hearing, also if you guys would be interested in hearing my Ouija board experience, I have a couple good experience, like, I guess neutral experiences, but I would particularly like to share my negative Ouija board experience, because I feel like that one's more important, because it really does become a safety concern. So if that's something you guys would be interested in hearing, definitely let me know. I do have an email address. It is aritvpodcast@gmail.com. It's just the acronym for A Rip in the Veil Pod plus the word podcast@gmail.com. So if you have any suggestions for topics, if you're interested in more of my personal stories, feel free to let me know there. Also, I am not very audio savvy. So, I mean, this is actually like my fifth time, literally my fifth time recording this episode. I've had an embarrassing number of technical difficulties. So if you are really tech savvy, please, if you have any suggestions, say you're listening to my audio and you're like, damn, it is so obvious this girl has no idea what she's doing, tell me. I don't care. No offense taken. If you have any suggestions or anything I can improve, let me know. I am using a condenser microphone and I use Audacity as my program. So if that means anything to anybody and you have suggestions for me, please let me know. But I think that about does it. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Again, this is... What am I talking about? Fuck. Oh, yeah. Again, my email is aritvpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to contact me if you have any suggestions. And I think that'll do it. Until next time, friends.